What's up, you guys? This is Abby Anderson, and you are listening to School of Hollywood.
Welcome to season 3 of School of Hollywood. We'd like to thank you for listening and following the Entertainment World School of Hollywood podcast. If you prefer videos of celebrities, they're available on entertainmentworld.us. Please take a moment and like the podcast and subscribe. And if you have any comments or questions, you can just send us a DM on Instagram at School of Hollywood. School is now in session. Welcome, Abby. Well, you've got a new single out, but before we talk about that, I actually was listening to Amazon and it does random, here's something you might like, but it pulled up a different track.
Oh, what did it pull up?
Bad Posture.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. I'll take it.
And that one is a solid hit.
Thank you. I love that song. Thank you.
Yeah. It's kind of like in the Adele kind of a vibe and could I'll be a massive record for you. So tell me about Bad Posture, since that's the first thing that I heard.
Yeah, well, Bad Posture is about my terrible posture. That's kind of where the idea stemmed from. I wrote this with my really good friend Anna Voss, who is also an amazing artist, songwriter in Nashville. And we had both kind of had similar experiences through COVID and in some similar-ish like business experiences in town. And we were just talking about it kind of as two young women would, catching up and sharing each other's stories and experiences. And, you know, I told Anna, my friend, I was like, man, I just don't understand why I feel so responsible for other people's insecurities and feelings and making sure everybody's happy. And I'm sick of it. You know, like I just want to do me. I just want to do what makes me happy. And she told me, she was like, it's funny you say that. I've had this title for a song, Bad Posture, in my phone for like a year. And I've never known how to write it. And she's like, I think we need to write that today. And as soon as she said that title, I just got full body chills. I was like, oh my gosh. And those first two lines, the I shrink myself to make you feel taller, and I would complain so your problems felt smaller, it just fell out of me. And we wrote that song probably in 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. You went to Nashville at the age of 17 and yes, you performed at the Grand Ole Opry. Tell me about your journey to getting to the opera.
I mean, I grew up listening to country music. You know, I'm a Texas girl, and I remember like in 12 or 13, just being obsessed with watching the Opry videos. I mean, every single day I'd rush home from school, pull up YouTube, see which artists have made their Grand Ole Opry debut, and just absolutely fangirl over everything. And I've just always known from a young age, like, oh man, if I could just play the Opry, you know, that would be everything. So that was always a really, really big goal of mine. Did not think I would be playing it, you know, when I was 20 years old, 21. Really, really glad I did. It was an experience of a lifetime. But the Opry, they've been amazing to me. They really have been.
So tell me about the journey. Did you have to play nightclubs, the Bluebird?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I moved to Nashville, I was 17. I was so green, Steve. Like, I really thought when you moved to Nashville, all you had to do was, like, knock on the door of a publisher and ask for a publishing deal and they would sign you. Like, I really thought that's how it worked. I definitely embarrassed myself a few times. I straight up like asked one of my dear friends who's a publisher, I asked her for a publishing deal on our first meeting. I was just like, I want to be a signed writer here. And she just looked at me like, okay, kid, like we got some lessons to learn first. But no, I moved to town and I remember I went out every single night. Again, I was 17, so I couldn't get into half of the bars, but I invested in a fake ID, got in all these bars, begged everyone to let me play, and they would let me get up there, play a couple songs that I'd been writing. And the best thing about Nashville is it's a big city, but it's a small town, you know? And on Music Row, everybody's really close. Everybody's a champion and everybody truly wants to help, you know? So I started making my own little network and just reaching out to people, asking them to write with me. And then 2 years later, 2 years of doing that, I'd signed a record deal. And then through them, that's how I got to play the Opry. They set all of that up.
Oh, that is awesome. You did a little touring with Brett Eldridge this past year, and you also did Stagecoach. Tell me about that rush.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was actually, golly, that was like 2018, 2019, pre-pandemic. That was a while ago. But I mean, I've had the opportunity to tour with a lot of amazing artists, Brett being one of them. I mean, it was awesome. I'm really, really thankful to learn from him, people like Rob Thomas, to just learn from legends and how I want to do my headlining shows.
Who has been some of your inspirations for your songs and your personal career?
I mean, that ranges all over the place. I think growing up, I listened to a lot of Linda Ronstadt, Ronnie Millsap, tons of Alicia Keys. Tina Turner was a huge one for me, Nora Jones. So lots of country, lots of soul, R&B and pop.
That's interesting you say a combination of the two, because listening to your album, it's kind of like it's country urban, the album.
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know what to call it, Steve. Honestly, like I've been calling it Abbey music because it's like you can't get the country out of my voice. You know, the Texas is in there for sure, but I'm also a piano player, which I know isn't super popular in country. But the fans seem to like it. They really embrace this, you know, newish sound and have allowed me to create whatever it is I want to.
Well, with Los Angeles right now, one of the new crazes is actually urban country, taking rappers and putting them on records. And so we're going to see something, new happening. Whether or not it goes to Nashville and is a big hit, that's a different story. But it's starting to hit the DJs and clubs here in L.A.
Yeah.
When you're writing your songs, what's the process that you go through?
Oh, man, it's honestly, every day's different. Like, some days I'll show up in the writer's room and have absolutely no idea. No ideas. You know, I'm just a blank slate. But, like, someone will say something that will awaken some emotion in me, and like melodies and lyrics just start flowing out. So sometimes that's how it is when I'm collaborating with other people. Whenever I'm writing by myself, usually I just feel this need to like get it out. I just feel this need to like go sit at the piano and start playing. And I'm a Pisces, Steve. I'm swimming in my feelings constantly. So it's not hard for like words and feelings to start coming out of me. I just got to get it out. And so usually it just falls out. That's how a lot of the songs started on this album.
What mistakes did you make when you first came to Nashville?
Oh, there's too many. Oh my gosh. I need to monetize that, actually.
Because, you know, we want to help young kids and when they're in their career, so they don't make the same mistakes.
Let's see. Mistake, I would say the biggest mistake that probably summarizes like my first 3-4 years in Nashville. Actually, no, I'm going to say the first 2 years in Nashville, I did a really, really good job of writing the music I loved. And I was very good at letting writers know, oh, I'm not feeling that. I don't like this. Probably not going to cut it. And just being very upfront with them, because you don't want to waste anybody's time, you know?
Yep.
I think my biggest mistake I made was after I signed my record deal, I did not listen to my gut. And I didn't listen to my intuition as far as what songs I liked, the production of it. Like, nothing felt right, you know? Mm-hmm. That was my own fault for not listening to that, Steve. Yeah. Like, how was my label supposed to know? I didn't, you know, it was for some reason I didn't feel like I could speak up. And I look back on that with compassion now and realize I was a young girl and trying to make everybody happy and trying to be, you know, quote unquote famous. And these people are going to make me a big old star. So I better just shut up and listen to them, you know? But if I could go back, I think I would have waited a couple years to make sure I understood the importance of speaking up for myself, of really saying and advocating, like, this is the music I want to put out, and being comfortable with saying no, and being comfortable with making other people feel uncomfortable, you know, not making everybody happy. Cause that's okay.
Yeah, that it is. It's absolutely, it's totally perfect to do. Where's the best places that you have found in Nashville to network with other singers?
Oh man. Go on. If anybody's listening to who lives in Nashville, the Listening Room is awesome. That's kind of where all the songwriters, you know, on Music Row go play their songs. I'd say Listening Room and anywhere on Demumbrian Street, like Live Oak is a great venue. That's where a lot of up and coming writers, songwriters, and artists go to play their music. There's always people there every single time.
Great. Have you found your favorite recording studio in Nashville yet?
Oh yeah, it's my producer's spot. Everything we did, he's got a place in Berry Hill. And it's just this house he bought, and it's got a great studio. It's just a room, you know, with a great mic. And we did the whole album top to bottom in like 2 weeks in that room of his. I think like the best place is always with the best, your kind of people. That's what makes a good studio.
And also who has the best microphones.
And the best microphone. Microphone matters. Absolutely.
You can't have a $100 microphone when somebody across town's got that $40,000 Neumann microphone.
Exactly.
So speaking of microphones, do you have a favorite one that you like to work with?
I don't really. Like, I really trust my producer on that. I know we're big fans of the Blue Mic. But sometimes every song is different, you know, some songs call for like different things. So I really listen. I'm not a producer. I don't claim to be. I'm like, producers can produce. Okay. Like, I'm going to write the song, whatever you think sounds good. And if it sounds good to me, we use it.
So do you play any musical instruments? I see a guitar hanging on the wall.
I started piano when I was 5, and I'm a classically trained pianist. So okay. I did that until I was like 18, picked up guitar when I was 12, started writing music. So piano and guitar are my two main instruments.
Cool. How many songs have you written in the 3 chords or the 4 chords?
With just the 3 or 4 chords?
Yeah.
Probably every song ever. Every now and then I'll get fancy and put in a 2 minor, 3 major, you know, if I really feel like flexing that muscle. But most of my best songs are pretty simple, I think.
Great. So do you have a late summer or fall tour coming up?
So I am starting my own headlining shows, which is super exciting.
Cool.
So we'll see how that goes. You know, it'll be my first time heading out by myself, and I'm really excited to meet my fans where they're at. So we're kicking things off in Nashville. August 30th is my first headlining show. And then in the fall, we're looking at doing some headliners in like Dallas, Chicago, hitting like 6 markets like that.
Well, you're going to have a new record to play and sing
on
stage.
That's
Juicy, tell us about it.
Idea. Exactly.
So what's Juicy about?
It's about being juicy. Juicy. So I actually, for about 2 or 3 years, not to get like too heavy, but I actually went through a really bad eating disorder. And I don't even know, Steve, I don't know how it started, when it started, but it really messed with me. And I think I've left my deal, recovered from my eating disorder. And one day I was just like, man, I just feel so good. Like, I just feel so full, you know, spiritually, physically, emotionally, just I'm making the music I want to make. I'm surrounded with the business minds that I love, that I can be creative with and fight with in a positive way. And I just remember like, gosh, I just feel juicy. Like everything in life is just so juicy now. And my producer had like thrown out that idea too. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is how I feel. And so instantly, as soon as you said juicy, I just started with those opening chords. You hear the da, 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 da. And it just fell out. The whole song was so easy to write.
So your album is available just about everywhere. Yes. The people can get. Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, on Instagram, you can find me at Abby Anderson Music, same as TikTok, and Twitter and Facebook, Abby Anderson.
Fabulous. Well, I wish you the best of luck in the tour in the fall and the single coming out. And mark my word, Bad Posture is going to be a hit for you.
Hey, well, I hope so, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the latest School of Hollywood podcast. We'd like to ask you a small favor. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like it. And if you really liked it, please share it on your social media. If you have any questions about acting, music, producing, and directing, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram at School of Hollywood. School of Hollywood is now part of entertainmentworld.us. Until next time, school is out.